the entire solar system, not just at any one point like 19.5, but the planets themselves, and in many cases their moons, are showing dramatic signs of energetic increase, which include increasing atmospheric pressure, increasing brightness from the aurora borealis, increasing magnetic field strength, increasing cataclysmic activity in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
And I can stand here tonight and basically say to you, name a planet, and I'll tell you what's changing about it. It doesn't even matter which one you pick, because we've got data for every single one.
Mars.
Mars. From the mid-1970s to 1997, on the Hubble Telescope website, the director of NASA at the time, Dr. Don Savage, said that between the late 1970s and 1997, Mars had developed clouds, had lost most of its dust, and had picked up a surprise abundance of ozone. Now, one of the things we're talking about in this model has to do with the emergence of this charged energy, like ozone, or plasma, as it's called, this luminous sea of electrons and protons. This is a sign in this new model of a higher degree of energy that's bleeding through to the third dimension. The Mars Surveyor probe was orbiting Mars in 1997 and encountered in one area a 200% increase in the atmospheric pressure from what was expected there.
At a couple hundred miles altitude.
And there's nothing to account for these changes in this dimension. In other words, we can't look at the sun and see more output, or is there anything? I'm looking for physical things that we can say account for this change, for example, in Mars. I've even heard there's global warming going on in,
that's correct,
on Mars. That is,
yeah, I mean, the irony is that all of this data is being released with conventional-sounding explanations.
All right. And what would be a conventional-sounding explanation for global warming on Mars? I'd be very interested in that.
It has to do with the ice caps, the regions that are at the poles being tilted more towards the sun, and they claim that because that's going on, that it warms up the planet and melts the ice caps. Which
and they are melting, aren't they? They are melting.
Oh,
right?
Dramatically so, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the problem is that the timescales don't fit. There is something on Mars, on Earth, and many other planets called obliquity shifts. The tilt of a planet's spin to its orbit around the sun is called its obliquity.
Yes.
For the Earth, it's 23.5 degrees. For Mars, it's 25 degrees. For Jupiter, it's around 3 degrees. For Saturn, it's about 27. You know, you all see models of the solar system where you have these little canted planets rakishly tilted
sure.
to the orbit around the sun.
Absolutely.
Planets' obliquities change over time. In mainstream models, this is probably due to gravitational and tidal effects between planets, even over millions of miles. That's a small point of contention, but let's assume that's true. What it means is that you can construct models in the computer which will predict, you know, from here forward or from here back, you know, a million years ago, 5 million years ago, 20 million years ago, what the tilt of the planet would be, and the effect of that on the total solar insulation of the planet, how much energy is absorbed and reflected, and what it would do to the planetary climate.
All right, Richard, hold tight for a second. David?
Yes.
Venus.
Venus. Between 1978 to 1983, the amount of sulfur gases in Venus's atmosphere, according to Bullock and Grinspoon in Scientific American magazine, decreased dramatically. I'll say that again. The amount of sulfur gas, obviously smells like rotten eggs, decreased dramatically between 1978 to 83.
Mm.
A parallel study was done between the Russian probes known as the Venera that visited Venus in 1975, and then with our ground-based Keck telescopes in 1999, there was a difference noticed between the amount of brightness. There's this green light that shows up in Venus's atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
In 1975, they didn't see it at all. And in 1999, it was 2,500% brighter. So this is an enormous change.
2,500%.
An increase in,
500% brighter.
Increase in energy.
Actual physical green light.
It's the green line of oxygen. It's the same line that's in the air glow mm-hmm. over the Earth. Now, here's the weird part. The Earth's oxygen atmosphere is like 20%, right?
Right.
Yes.
There's supposed to be no oxygen on Venus at all. So where in the space of a couple of years, a few years, did more oxygen come from in the upper Venus atmosphere than is present in the upper terrestrial atmosphere?
And where did all the sulfur go?
These are Genesis-like changes.
Huge.
We're talking
huge.
About the whole world's atmosphere all at once having a dramatic decline in sulfur in 5 years.
Got it.
And they initially pegged this to a mysterious massive volcanic eruption that must have taken place on Venus, except, of course, Art, there's no data. There were no observations of any volcanoes by any spacecraft or terrestrial instruments of Venus ever in the history of observing Venus. They simply waved their magic wand, this is the NASA guys, and said, oh, it had to be a volcano, because what else could it be?
Right.
The problem in science is the what else could it be. This is what Jean Mayloff was fighting against, because the what else is what leads us to new territory, new discoveries, and new progress.
David?
Yes.
Jupiter.
Oh, man. Jupiter is just incredible. There is this donut-shaped cloud of energy that goes around in the orbit of the moon Io, which is the closest moon to Jupiter.
Mm-hmm.
This cloud didn't even show up at all as of 1974. As of 1979, there's this donut luminous cloud showing up around Jupiter. And then between 1979 to 1995, the cloud becomes 200% brighter and denser. At the same time, the moon Io becomes 1,000% higher in its ionosphere, which is where the charged energy goes. It was originally measured in 1973 at between 30 and 60 miles. In 1996, it was at 555 miles. That was from Dr. Lewis Frank from NASA. The surface of Io is actually three times hotter than the surface of Mercury. Okay, now Mercury is right next to the Sun. But here's Io hanging out around Jupiter, three times hotter than the surface of Mercury, and it increased in its temperature by over 200% between 1979 and 1998.
And that's not counting the volcanoes.
Boy.
Right.
Boy, oh boy. Are you beginning to see a commonality here, folks?
And I'm telling you, just pick a planet. It doesn't even matter.
Saturn.
Saturn. There is an aurora that was first seen, this glowing luminous energy, seen for the first time in 95 at the polar regions. Some weird stuff is going on there. I found one study from Dr. Ed Sittler et al. That shows that between 1981 and 1993, a donut of energy very similar to the one we see around Jupiter, similar one around Saturn, had become 1,000% more dense and bright.
Wow.
These are global changes of geological proportion occurring in just years, Art.
Yeah.
Not thousands of years or millions of years.
Just years.
But stunningly short periods of time.
12 years.